Of course, this is a scriptural text that has always been implanted in my own memory bank because of an Amy Grant song, Thy Word. Some of you will go home and you'll download that today to your phones and listen to it. Great song. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, written by Michael W. Smith, who I listened to for years growing up. Light and lamp. An important piece for us to see the word of the Lord as. Something that gives us the light that we need to walk on the path that is in front of us. My hope this morning is that we begin to look beyond Scripture as something that is merely needed to be known, information to be had, something that Christians ought to have some familiarity with along the way. My hope is that you see Scripture this morning as something that is light to you, something that later David describes as life to you, and finally something that is your very heritage, the thing that defines who you are, the very thing that is your heart's delight and joy. And that's what we hope we can see this morning. For those that were around, there was one time in this congregation's life that I preached sitting down. Four of us from the church had climbed Split Mountain, over 14,000 feet, and we had mistimed the summit such that we knew that we were going to be in darkness on the way down. And we were exhausted, the summit push being much harder than I had anticipated. But when we got back down to a high lake, we began to, my mind began to kick into high gear. We got to move now. And I knew that this would be the case simply because we had four lanterns on our heads. Of which the battery life is not everlasting. And even with the light on our head, we lost the trail and spent about 20 minutes trying to forage for where the trail might be picked up again. And then sure enough, as we got farther and farther down the hill, one by one, the lanterns began to go out. And we walked the last bit of the way, thankfully on a road with some moonlight out, all the way to the truck. And I sat down because we moved so fast that my blisters on my feet were literally peeling. That next morning, we were concerned, we were worried, and we knew that we did not have light for the journey ahead. We cannot always count for the light of the moon to show up, can we? But very few times that's really enough for you to see. You need light. And what David describes here is this very thing, except that it's not a lantern that goes out. It's not something that is extinguished. There is an eternal supply, as it were, of oil to keep the lamp going, but it is not enough light to give you a view for the things that you wish you could see. We all know this. We all know that we would like to see the journey ahead of us such that what we could see not only the summit, but that we could see all the valleys and the peaks that we might be going through along the way. There's nothing more disorienting. I've been lost on a hunting trip with my dad when fog rolled in, and I couldn't tell where anything was. It's discouraging, it's scary to not be able to see very far. And a lantern would be like that very thing. You'd have light to see what mightn't be in front of you, but you do not know where the stream is. You do not know where the ravine might be leading you to the next road across the way. You do not know what kind of unsuspecting animals that didn't smell you coming might be around the bend. You grow up in the wild, you have a healthy fear of what could unfold there. And David describes this very thing in which light is something that is a blessing despite the fact it doesn't show us the full picture. And he begins to look at this truth as something that he holds onto in the midst of what he's experiencing. And he describes it as such that I'm suffering much. Preserve my life according to the word. Wicked have set snares for me. And he even says, I hold my life in my hands, which is to say that he understands that he cannot grasp it. He has to hold it with a hand opened wide, saying, my life is right here, but it's yours that I give to. And it's your law that I have to hold on to along this path and this journey. I need to see that what you have said is the very thing that gives me life. That what you have spoken to your people is the very thing that I can now hold on to as lamp for the journey ahead. In the light of Scripture, of course, a pastor is called to proclaim Scripture and called to talk about Scripture a lot. In the course of this past month, I've done a lot of that, where Scripture has been very much on my mind and on my heart to various places that I've spoken. I've spoken at the high school for FCA with a devotion. I've spoken at the Pregnancy Center in Modesto with a devotion. I've been planning the West Coast Pastors Conference and bringing in a Scottish Old Testament teacher to teach us the Old Testament. And, of course, Brian and I think about scripture passages to bring here to allow you to come into contact with Scripture on a deep and, we hope, important way. But I have to confess over the years that quite often I have been looking at Scripture as one in which it's just my next assignment. Say something to me, Pastor, that will help us on this road ahead. What we have confusion on what these things might be saying to us. Could you give us the historical background? Could you give me the interpretation piece of it? Could you show us? We hope that you will come and inspire our group. And yet, the word to me right now is in many ways a lamp in light in ways I'd never really experienced it. You might think that someone who had to go and learn dead languages to preach might not be tripped up in that way, but I have been. It's really not until you go through difficult circumstances that you begin to see how much the Word of God is light to a path that you cannot see fully in front of you, but you hope it's enough light for the next few steps ahead. That you begin to see that it is this very thing that gives life to you. It is life-giving. I talked about it this week with someone as moving beyond Scripture as information and beginning to see it as oxygen. The very thing that's meant to be coursing through the blood of your body, such that it is giving warmth and strength to all of your extremities, such that you can face the battle ahead. I've even gone and I've mocked this many times over the years because I'm an old book guy. But I've been using a Bible app on my phone pretty religiously for the past year and a half, primarily because I didn't quite know where to start. And so I set up my Bible app to give me a verse of the day. So it's, you can get it online, and it pops up on your phone, and it says verse of the day. And quite often in this past year, it would reset at midnight every night. In this past year, many nights where I would just be incapable of sleep and would just wait for midnight to roll over so I could get the new verse. And I would get the new verse, and it allows you to pick, read the whole chapter. And so I would read the verse, and then I would go to the whole chapter and read the whole chapter to see what it is that God might be saying to me in the midst of my own circumstances, and to see it as something that is not mere information that I, with a degree in biblical studies, can know inside and out, but something that can actually give me hope for the road ahead, that can see the circumstances in a way that I hadn't seen it before, that could actually lift me up and give me something to hold on to. And it did. It did. Began to see that the Word of God, even though I firmly believed it to be true inside and out, was actually something that was light in a way I'd never seen before. And you really can't see it that way, I think, without having experienced some struggle along the way. That is to say, Christianity is not a test tube reality in a lab, that you just kind of get a system together that works and produces the kind of results from the test tube that you had hypothesized. Does that make sense? The Christianity is actually far more organic than this. It's not a controlled environment. It's not me as the pastor wearing a white lab coat and you coming to ask what Scripture might be saying to you in and through my own teaching from a controlled space. Scripture is meant to be the very thing that you take from here and go out into the wild. And yes, friends, when you step out that door, you're going out into the wild. You are. It is not predictable. It is something that it does not have circadian rhythms that you can trust day in and day out. It has wicked setting snares for you. It has suffering coming your way in ways you'd least expect it to be. And it is a reality that is something that you can only ask for enough light for the next step ahead. And yet, what David does here is he doesn't bemoan this fact. He doesn't say, if all that I've been through, Lord, you owe me a vista. He says, it is so great that I have enough light to step forward, that I have enough light to walk on firm ground and not be tripped up, that I have enough light to see who is walking alongside of me such that I can, like Stephen ministers, lift them up and embrace them and encourage them along the way, that I have enough light to know that I do not need to stand still, that I do not need to sit down and quit, that I do not need to follow someone else into the abyss. Friends, is If Scripture is the very thing that's meant to be light for your path, if it's meant to be life in the midst of your suffering struggles, if it's meant to be something you look at is your heritage, the very thing that defines you, this is the heritage of Christians, is that they have a written account of a God who speaks, a God who is not silent, a God who is not absent, a God who is not an absentee landlord, as the devil's advocate puts it, but is actually a one who has stepped into our world and spoken. We have a lot that we can hold on to. We have a lot that is light to our path. We have a lot that we can say, this is the very thing that I hold on to. Not so that I can win an internet debate. Not so that I can say I'm smarter than the next guy. But that I can simply say that there but for the grace of God go I. And how on earth do I know that there is grace from a God that might be coming towards me? It's because of Scripture. There is nothing we do here that would make any sense at all if you did not have God's Word. So maybe put an app on your phone and have a verse remind you daily. Maybe put a bookmark in your Bible, put it next to your iPad, and pick that up first. Maybe do what was done for me this past year and a half. Send someone a verse via text, thinking about you, praying for you. The Lord is near, in Psalms, for the brokenhearted. So, Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Or maybe just send Psalm 119. Thy word is a lamp for my feet and a light to my path. May it be that to you. May it be life to you. May it be the very thing that you hold on to dearly so that you navigate between the absurdities of how it's often interpreted and begin to see the actual truth that's meant to give you new life in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Just enough light. But it's light. It's light. Let's pray.